Blog Talk Radio.
This is Don Allen Rico and Dr. Kenneth Rehm. Welcome to our 30-minute discussion today on the Foot Expert Online, discussing topics that can keep your feet healthy and affect your overall health. Our topic this morning is, ouch, my feet hurt, dealing with neuropathy. 646-787-1532 is the call-in number. And good morning, Dr. Rehm.
Hey, good morning. Good to be talking about this problem, neuropathy. But I have to make a comment on what you just said. And it's neuropathy can show up as pain. It could show up as painless. People cannot feel their feet, loss of sensation or loss of protective sensation, not complete loss. And it could show up as a combination of both. So when you say, ouch, my feet hurt, that could be only one component of diabetic neuropathy or neuropathy in general. Another misconception is that neuropathy only occurs in diabetics. It occurs in non-diabetics as well as diabetics.
I remember you saying that one time that your feet can be numb, yet they can be painful. And that was very interesting to me.
Absolutely.
So you're right. I did put in, ouch, my feet hurt, but I can't feel them.
Well, you know what?
Tell
that's
us a
right.
Little bit about neuropathy.
Yeah, well, you know, neuropathy is one of the key components to what happens as a complication of diabetic foot disease caused by a combination of peripheral vascular disease and nerve disease in the foot. And what happens is it starts out with high blood sugar, and the high blood sugar through a series of complicated mechanisms inflame the body and inflame the insides of tissues, including the arteries and arterioles. And not only does it get inflamed, but the inflammation and also primarily it gets some of the blood sugar gets caught in the blood, as well as thickenings and a plaque and that type of thing. And the small vessels, there are various sizes of vessels, and they all get affected. When the larger vessels are affected, it's part of the advanced process of normal atherosclerosis that we all go through. However, particularly common in the diabetics, particularly marked in the diabetics is this alteration of the small vessels and the capillaries. The capillaries is what takes the blood and the nutrients into the tissues after the small arteries get to the tissues, and then they're transported into the tissues by way of the capillaries. And so the neuropathy that you're asking about is caused by the covering of the nerves being altered by the fatty sugar substances, because when the body is lacking sugar, it's not really lacking sugar. It's sugar that can't get into the cell to go to work. And when this happens, the body senses a total loss of sugar and seeks to take it from anywhere it can. One of the places it takes it from is the covering of the nerve. And this produces a type of nerve sensation. It could be pain, it could be numbness, it could be both, but is also exacerbated by the small vessels that feed the nutrition to the arteries get blocked. And so you could have this conglomerate of the symptoms. Now, another thing that happens is cellular and non-cellular edema. That means swelling. That means a whole effect of the pressures of all the fluids that accumulate because of high blood sugar and even some of the other things that go along with diabetes, like heart disease and high blood pressure, produce also this fluid. also a pressure on the veins, and the veins get a little swollen, and this type of thing puts pressure on the whole arterial system. And I could go into detail if you'd like me to, but the point is that neuropathy is one of the hallmarks of what happens in a diabetic with peripheral vascular disease, and it's due to the high blood sugar. And so these, when you're dealing with foot pain caused by diabetes or this conglomerate of systems that the foot is numb, you have to address these whole etiological phenomena.
Okay.
So, yes, I think I answered your question.
Yeah. The thing of it is, you know, as a layman, And you're talking as a doctor, and that's what is actually very interesting to me, because the fact that I learn a lot about it. You know, when people talk about diets and they talk about what they're going to eat and what, you know, what not to eat, and say don't eat sugar and don't, you know, and you're talking about, you know, in one essence that the body is needing that sugar, and because if it doesn't have it, it's going to take it, you know, from other things such as the coating of the nerves, you know, and I know this is very detailed, but as you think about it, you know, we really, and throughout the shows that you've talked about, is that you talk about preventative care, you know, health care, and so it's not just, all of a sudden I've got neuropathy, and, you know, how do I get rid of it? There's a lot of prevention that goes into this. It's a lot about diet. It's a lot about eating right. It's a lot about taking care of yourself. There's a lot of things that go into this, isn't there?
Well, I mean, let's go to the most common pathway that causes diabetes and causes the neuropathy. I mean, you could put medicine on the nerves and take medicine to affect the nerves, like you know, the gabalins and the, you know, that type of thing, the medicines that are out. A trade name is Lyrica or gabapentin or pregabalin. These are medications that soothe or try to heal the nerve within. But you know what? What I'm all about is that's kind of just getting the etiology, not at the root, but down in where damage has already been done. And what I'd like to do is if nobody talks about it, Don, then people aren't going to know, and it's not going to be important. Let's get the problem where it starts, at the tip of the river, at the base, at the basin. Let's get it to where it starts, and that is the blood sugar and diet and exercise and stress relief because it affects the whole thing. You're talking all the things that neuropathy causes: the walking imbalances, the pain, the dry skin, the muscle weaknesses, the joints, the off balance, the sweating mechanisms, the callus buildup, the inability to fight bacterial and fungus infection. Let's get it at the source. Let's get it where it starts. You know, I feel funny because I'm always talking about this. The message seems very clear. Here I am wanting to talk about neuropathy, and you ask me how do we prevent it, and I'd like to say, well, there's this medicine, and you could get this injections, and you could get this type of thing. But you know what? It always boils down to just good preventive care as soon as you can. Even when you're pre-diabetic, take that message with you. Take it with you, and let's do something about it. And I'm reminded of this message when 8 out of 10 people that come to me with diet and they can't feel their feet, and they feel like the feet are on fire, or they feel their feet are a block of ice, or they can't move their toes, or whatever it, or they feel weak and they can't move their hips. I said, so what is your hemoglobin A1C, which means the last 3 months of blood sugar? And they'll tell me, well, I don't know. I said, what was your blood sugar this morning? Well, I don't measure it. Then I asked the nurse to go into the medical record and tell me what their last measurement was. And the last measurement was a hemoglobin A1C of 14. They had this message months ago of a hemoglobin A1C of 14, which, by the way, is very high. And they should be on a rampage. They should be on a committed course to have taken that message and to say, uh-oh, I'm going to measure my blood sugar once or twice a day. I'm going to be very strict. I'm not going to eat anything that I shouldn't. I asked them, Don, I said, what are you eating that you shouldn't? Well, I try to stay away from soda pop with sugar in it. That's what they're doing. Wait a minute. I am not blaming the patient. Do you know who I'm blaming? I'm blaming the system. I'm blaming the system that has to push through 40 patients a day on a doctor, and he has to manage these very complicated cases, and he can't do his detailed work like he should have because of the payment systems, and they just don't have the time. And I'm not giving that as an excuse. I think we should make the time somewhere, somehow, someplace to prevent this stuff and encourage and educate and motivate these people that are suffering with diabetes to know how it is to control it. And they should know the diet. They should be on the diet. They should be motivated. And I encourage everybody to kind of like when they get their doctor, to interview their doctor and see if they ask the right questions. But then again, this takes motivation to improve your health. Some people are just there passively and say, treat me. Okay? And part of it is knowing the rules of good health, knowing what to do, knowing how to do it, keep the muscles and joints working. You know, you don't have to be a gym rat, but go out and exercise for 90 minutes three times a week. Okay? I'm sorry for rampaging on it, but this is so important, and people aren't doing it.
We have a health
insurance problem in this country, Don. We have a problem of people complying. Is it the patient's fault? Well, in part, yes, because we're all ultimately responsible for us. But where's the primary care in all this stuff?
It's non-existent. You know, the thing that is when I went out and started, we decided on the topic, and so I do a little bit of research myself. And the research that I get is, you know, they give you the symptoms, they give you kind of what's going on, and then they give you the treatments through these gabapentin, whatever the brand name.
Gabapentin, Lyrica.
Yeah,
pregabulin.
All of this stuff but nowhere does it talk about, hey, clean up your diet, go exercise, do what you're supposed to do, prevent this a little bit, doing it a different way. It's all about medication. It's all about fixing the problem after the fact. It doesn't talk about the A1Cs. And I learned a lot about that through our dear friend, recently passed, Khan, who was a diabetic since he was age 26, so most of his life, and he lived 73, something like that. But
yeah, he was 71. May he rest in peace.
Yes, and Chuck was one of the best at knowing he knew every day, all day, what his blood sugars were. He tested 5 or 6 times a day. He knew what his A1Cs were. And I knew all of that about diabetes because I talked with Chuck an awful lot. And you learn a lot about people and you learn about problems like that. So if someone is not doing this, Chuck would tell us all the time that, he had friends who would die. They would pass away just simply because they didn't take it seriously. It's very important. This is serious stuff.
Well, some people like to deny it, but we have to. That's where the primary care physician comes in, is to employing motivation and psychological techniques. Talk about the primary care physician. I had a patient who was in this denial, and I can't do this, and I can't exercise, and I can't watch my diet. And I went in I'm in a clinic, and I went in to talk to the primary care physician. And the primary care physician of this particular patient said, well, they're just not compliant. They just don't want to comply. There's nothing you could do. And Don, I suggest that the non-compliance and the ability to wish it away, you know, I wish I didn't have diabetes, is indeed the denial, is the word I'm looking for, is indeed part of the disease. And the neuropathy it happens in the brain, but it also happens in the foot. And when our foot doesn't hurt, and when we don't feel the foot, for instance, in that type of neuropathy, psychology experts tell us that it doesn't exist and you don't take care of it. You don't want to take care of it. So there are a lot of psychological mechanisms coming into play with diabetes and diabetic neuropathy. And I suggest that this is part of the disease. So if there are any people picking their primary care disease of a physician who are motivated, who are interested in interviewing them, and indeed if there are any primary care physicians, whether it be internists or general practitioners or family practitioners listening, come on, this is part of the disease. Noncompliance is part of the disease, and we have to treat that every bit like we have to treat an infection or a fracture or something like that. Noncompliance is part of the disease. So help me, everybody. Help me. Help me interview your physician. Physicians, help me treat the person as a whole person. The foot is indeed part of the rest of the body. The foot is part of the rest of the body. You have to look at the foot. You have to look at the person. And indeed, part of the person is this denial, and we have to treat the person as a whole. Are you getting my message, Don?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to amplify that just a little bit to take it to a little larger aspect. What about parents who have children? And what can, you know, I mean, diabetes in children seems like it's on the rise. At least that's what, you know, some of the information that Chuck gave to me. Is what can be done to help prevent a child from having to deal with diabetes, and what parents should know about it?
Mary, you know what? This is a great question. This is a great question. Everybody listen. I go to the office. I go to my clinic. On the way to the clinic, I pass by a 7-Eleven by a high school. During the off hours at the high school, whether it be before school starts, or whether it be a lunch hour, or whether it be right when school gets out, the 7-Eleven is right next to a Starbucks, and so the kids are congregated in that parking lot where it adjoins both facilities. And what do I see? I see kids smoking. I see kids drinking large Cokes, Diet Cokes, potato chips, these coffees with loads of sugar in it. You know, to get something without sugar, you really have to ask for it these days. You know, if you go into a store and they have a milkshake, you have to make sure, does that have sugar in it? You think something doesn't have sugar in it, but it usually does. And so what are we saying here, Don? We're saying that what's available to kids on their own, what's available for snacks, what's part of their social structure, is all this sugary activity that is combined with their sedentary lifestyle. You know, we used to come home from school and we used to go out to play. These kids are going out, and you know what they're doing? I'm sure there's a lot of them that are up for sports and good, but I'm talking more and more. You know what they're doing? They're punching on their computers or their handheld whatevers, okay? And they're eating potato chips and Coca-Cola, and this is – so you're talking about parents? You're talking about what parents should do? If parents are too busy working two jobs – and not taking care of their kids, or hiring caretakers to take care of them, or when they get home, they drink themselves to death and leave their kids alone. This is what kids, it's called family, Don. It's called family. Yeah. It's called eating dinner together. It's discussing the problems. And it's called, how was your sports? And you don't forget, you have to practice piano tonight. And how is dance class? And maybe I'm not using the right word, but I'm trying to paint a picture of what parents could do.
Right. And I think nutrition is part of it. Getting them to exercise, doing things as a family, that's another part. It's so important. And what does all of this have to do with neuropathy? It's prevention of it, don't you think?
It's because we're going to the root source. Here I wanted to talk about neuropathy, and here we wind up again because it's so important, and it's the answer is to go to the root source of what's causing the neuropathy and therefore the diabetes and therefore the prediabetes and therefore hanging around as kids eating Coca-Cola and potato chips and smoking cigarettes and not going out for sports like we used to and not playing in the backyard and always on their computers. I'm sorry for bringing this up again, but it's part of my message that I try to promote on drremremedies.com. And you know, you talk about diabetic neuropathy, it shows up in the skin. And the skin is dry and thick and thick callus, and it starts to hurt and it gets inflamed. Go to Dr. Reem Remedies to see the remedies for the skin. Balm Riche, the skin cream for active feet, Balm Riche for the diabetic foot, and the Balm Riche cleansing ready patch, which clean the skin before you use the cream to facilitate a pathway like no other products on the market. I promise you, it makes your feet feel good and look good and healthy. Look good,
you know,
feel good and healthy. Come on, guys. Yeah. Get on the bandwagon. Be healthy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate all the time that you give to us, and it's so short because it is a big topic. It's all related. And we talk to the root source. We talk about the root source of the problem and how to resolve it. And then some of the creams like you're talking about on drreemremedies.com.
Well, it's a lifestyle. It's a message I'm trying to give of prevention. The creams only represent a part of what to do in prevention.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for being with us again this morning, or those that listen to the recorded call. This is Don Allen Rico and Dr. Ken Reem, the Foot Expert Online. Remember to keep your feet healthy and appreciate your time, Dr. Reem.
Thank you very much. And remember, if it is to be, it is up to me.
Absolutely. Foot Expert Online is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Kenneth Reem, all rights reserved.